You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. We are so honored to have our guest join us today on the show, Angela Lee, who is innovating the way that entrepreneurs and investors come together. We've talked to entrepreneurs and investors separately, but talk about someone who's able to combine both bodies of people is going to be very interesting, and she's doing it in a very innovative way. So once again, Angela, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. Now, just to get started with our conversation, I'd like to ask you about, first of all, the startup community in New York City specifically. You know, we often hear about the startup environment in places like Silicon Valley and et cetera, other places in California. But can you tell us a little bit more about how the startup space is like in New York?
Yeah, so first of all, New York City is the fastest growing startup ecosystem in the United States right now. And I actually think it's the perfect time to be an entrepreneur and investor in New York City. On the one hand, I think we're developed enough that we're not the wild, wild west anymore, right? We've got some processes, like everyone kind of knows each other. It's still friendly, but we're still small enough that I feel like everybody still wants to help each other and be collaborative. My sense is there are a little bit of sharper elbows out in Silicon Valley, and we're not quite there yet. And so I just feel like it's such a fun time to be an entrepreneur and investor in New York. Like everyone just is really helpful, really collaborative, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm sure. And that sounds so great. And like you said, it's a great environment for startups to come to, especially in a place where you tend to be more supportive and working together more collaboratively is also very important. Now, you also work within the Columbia Business School, and I read that you got your MBA from this school. So what made you want to go back?
Yeah, so when I left business school, I entered the big world of consulting, and I was at McKinsey for several years, and then moved on into innovation consulting. But for me, education was always at the core of everything that I loved. When I was at McKinsey, I was training the incoming consultants to be consultants. That was my favorite, you know, week out of every quarter. And so I said, you know, how do I merge everything that I love? And this really interesting opportunity at Columbia emerged where I get to have a senior administrative role. I'm working on the curriculum and teaching quality at Columbia Business School. And then I also get to teach several classes. I teach a leadership course, a strategy course, and then an angel investing course. And so it's a combination of everything that I love.
So with that being said, because you received your business education from this institution and now you're going back there and teaching, to you, what is the most fulfilling aspect of, you know, teaching business and then inspiring others to pursue a career in business like you have done?
Yeah, for me, what I love about teaching is the way that I structure my courses is that students have really immediate impact. And so I love it that, you know, literally every week I ask them the next week, hey, what did you guys learn last week and how did you apply it on Monday morning? And so there's this kind of immediate tactical result that I get from teaching. But what really kind of gets me going is that long-term really significant change. And, you know, I'll be teaching and I see a student having an aha moment where like, you know, I never thought about it that way before. And I get emails 3, 4, 5 years after I've taught a student talking about, you know, something that clicked or how they took us something that I taught them years and years ago. And it's really impacting them today. And to me, there's just nothing more fulfilling than knowing I've really fundamentally changed an individual because of a course that they sat through. And I just loved that about teaching.
Right. I mean, education is so important, especially when it comes to professional development. And the role that you have as an instructor is truly to change someone's life and to help prepare them for the real world or for whatever passion that they want to pursue. So that must be an absolutely incredible feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I really have the most amazing job in the world and feel so incredibly lucky to have it.
Right. And that, again, that's wonderful. Now, when it comes to starting your own business, though, I think what's so interesting is that you started something that combines both aspects of entrepreneurship and investing, and that is through 37 Angels. So first of all, can you tell us a little bit more about this organization and why did you start 37 Angels?
Yeah, so at a high level, 37 Angels is two things. One, we're an angel investing network. What that means is that we look at a whole bunch of deals every year and we invest in a handful of them to give you some numbers, we look at between 2,000 and 2,500 deals a year, and we'll invest in about a dozen of them. On the other hand, we are an educational boot camp, meaning we are trying to train women specifically to enter this world. And so we have a month-long boot camp, which is kicked off by a two-day in-person intensive weekend, where you really learn the ins and outs of how do you source deals, how do you conduct diligence. When someone says my company's worth $7 million, what the heck does that mean? And all the nitty-gritty. And at the end of the program, you walk out having invested in your first company and having the framework and the wherewithal to really understand what it means to make intelligent investments in this ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So you asked why I started this. I started this because, frankly, it's something that I wanted to be a part of. You know, I was looking for this when I was starting angel investing about 8 or 9 years ago now. And I decided to kind of blend what I love, investing and supporting entrepreneurs, with what I'm really good at, which is putting together a really good curriculum around it. So I saw an opportunity and I went after it.
That's terrific. And I'd like to remind our listeners that you're listening to Women Investing and Women and Girls. We're talking with our guest today on the show, Angela Lee, about 37 Angels. Now, Angela, there's a certain statistic that I believe also probably caused you to create 37 Angels. It's the number, or the percentage rather, of women that are investors. So can you tell us that statistic and what that number means to you?
Sure. So when I started 37 Angels in late 2012, 13% of angel investors were women. So people always ask us, how did we get to the name 37 Angels? And it's because we're trying to close the gap between 13% and 50%. Which is 37%. And that's, we wanted to close the gap so that half of angel investors were women. I'm happy to say that today, you know, mid-2015, that number's much closer to 18, 19, 20%, depending on which statistic you look at. But, you know, obviously I've been part of that moving the needle, but lots and lots of other people have been as well. And it's really great to see that the gap is closing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like you said, there is progress being made. We still have quite a bit to go, but it's always promising when you see that the number of women in investment positions is rising. So, and it truly attests to the power that organizations like 37 Angels have in trying to find the solution to this problem. Now, as far as the logistics behind 37 Angels, how large is the team that is helping these entrepreneurs?
So we have about 55 investors, and we have a team of about 5 people who are kind of 37 Angels staff supporting that whole process. Because as you can imagine, to look at 2,000 to 2,500 companies a year takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the power behind the network.
Excellent. Now, there are two ways that I want to talk more about 37 Angels. It comes from the perspective of the entrepreneurs and how they are helped, and then from the perspective of the investors. So talking about the entrepreneur side, you know, there are many organizations out there that are dedicated to helping entrepreneurs, you know, either develop their startup or to try to teach them how to seek funding. So how is 37 Angels different? What makes it unique?
Yeah, so I would say there's, you know, 3 things that we give entrepreneurs. The first is obviously money. That's between $50,000 and $200,000 into each startup. That's not in any way, shape, or form unique. There's tons of places to get money. Okay, the 2 places where we are unique is, one, the educational lens. A lot of the content that we share with our investors, we then package and share with our entrepreneurs. I do 1 to 2 speaking engagements a week to a room full of 50 to 100 entrepreneurs, teaching them, hey, how do you approach investors? Hey, how do you value your company? Hey, what are all the different sources of fundraising? So education is a huge proponent, something that we really do for entrepreneurs. And then the last thing, what really makes 37 Angels unique, is our transparency and efficiency. If you go onto our testimonials on our website, we have dozens and dozens of quotes from entrepreneurs that say, we're really easy to work with, we're really quick. From pitch to funding decision, we guarantee a 4-week turnaround time, which is incredibly unheard of in the ecosystem. And our testimonials show it. 75% of the testimonials we have on our website are from entrepreneurs who we did not fund. So we said, no, we're not going to give you any money. And then they turned around and wrote us a positive review. And that, to me, is incredibly powerful.
That's amazing. And again, it truly shows how important organizations like these are in providing these entrepreneurs with more than just funding. You know, we're going to talk more about 37 Angels when we come back from our first break. But for now, I want to invite all of you to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, use #womeninvest, #girlsinvest, or #weforshe. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
And welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are going to get right back to our conversation with our guest today on this show, Angela Lee of 37 Angels. Now, before we went to the break, we talked a little bit about Angela's background, talking about the startup space in New York, as well as her work within the Columbia Business School, as well as how 37 Angels helps both entrepreneurs and investors. Now, we're going to continue talking about how this organization specifically helps entrepreneurs before we move on to the investors. So, Angela, I'd like to ask you, you know, how do entrepreneurs get involved within 37 Angels? What's the process that they have to go through?
So there's, you can always just apply to get in front of 37 Angels through our website. We detail our process online, and we use Gust as a platform. And I would say Gust and AngelList are the two most common, what I would call general open platforms for people, for entrepreneurs to get in front of investors. And we definitely use those too. That being said, the absolute best way to get introduced to 37 Angels is through a referral. So we've invested in 33 companies to date. 27 of them came in through somebody that we know. Not surprisingly, if someone can vouch for you, that introduction is really going to go that much further.
That's very interesting. So, you know, like you said, there are many entrepreneurs that want to be a part of 37 Angels. So how competitive is it to, you know, have the ability to be affiliated with this program?
I mean, in terms of companies that we invest in, like I said, in a year, if you just do the math, we look at 2,500 and invest in a dozen, right? That's 0.5%.
Right.
And our numbers are very typical, right? So if, you know, Ellie Wheeler from Graycroft, they look at 3,000 companies a year and invest in a similar number. So it sounds crazy, but it's a very typical number that you would see out there in the ecosystem. And so that means for entrepreneurs out there who are listening, you're going to have to kiss a lot of frogs, right? And if you're, you're going to get a lot of no's before you collect that first check, but that's just the way it is. And you should just have that expectation going into fundraising now.
Right, right. Now, as far as the types of entrepreneurs that you see, do you usually see entrepreneurs that have a certain type of startup, or do you get a pretty wide variety of different people that come to 37 Angels?
I would say 75 to 80% of what we see are tech startups. I think that's what's being started these days. They're leaner, they're cheaper to start, and it's kind of what everyone's super excited about. And then the remaining, you know, 20-25% are food companies, hardware companies, life science companies, but really we're seeing a lot of tech.
And as far as the entrepreneurs are they predominantly female, or do you get about an equal mix of male and female?
So we've actually kind of done the diligence around this. We get about a third of our applicants being female and two-thirds being male. And we're really proud to say that if you look at our portfolio, it actually completely mirrors what's applying to us, which I'm glad, because it means that I think we have a relatively gender-neutral lens. And it means that even though a third women in our portfolio sounds very low, it's actually a pretty high proportion of female founders if you look at any other angel network or VC firm.
Right. I mean, you hear all the time that the percentage of female-owned businesses that get funded is very low. So like you said, to have a third is, you know, in comparison to the reality of how many female-owned businesses get funded now is pretty high, would you say?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So talking more about the pitch forums, this is, again, a very great way for entrepreneurs to gain skills. So can you tell us more about these forums, where they're located, and, you know, more about this?
Yeah. So first, I'll start with the process to get into the pitch forum. So like I said, we'll look at between 2,000 and 2,500 applications, and applications usually a one-page executive summary or an investor pitch deck. We'll take a 20-minute phone call with about one in five of those, and then we'll physically meet in person with about one in three of those. Then we'll ask a select few, usually eight every 2 months, to pitch in person to our network. That's typically a room in New York City, usually in Midtown Manhattan, and it'll be, you know, eight entrepreneurs pitching to anywhere to 30 to 40 investors. We do a 6-minute pitch, 4 minutes of Q&A, and then that afternoon, for the companies that we're really interested in, we'll spend the afternoon in diligence with them. And the reason being is that it's just so much more effective when everyone's in the same room. And again, it's how we make our diligence process incredibly efficient. Rather than waiting a week and setting up a phone call that maybe not everyone can join, everyone's in that room together, looking at a laptop together, looking at spreadsheets together. It makes that diligence process that much more efficient.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now, if you're just now tuning into our show, you're listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We're talking with our guest today, Angela Lee, more about how entrepreneurs benefit from being affiliated through 37 Angels. Now, Angela, what happens to the startups if they do get funded? Are there next steps that the entrepreneurs go through 37 Angels?
Absolutely. So we ask every entrepreneur, how can we help you? And a lot of the times that's introductions to other investors, it's introductions to people that they want to hire, introductions to potential clients and partners. Obviously, sometimes subject matter expertise. And we just ask them and we compile a list. And to be a member of our network, you are absolutely required to help our portfolio companies. And in some cases, we'll just send you a spreadsheet. Here are the 7 things you said you need help with. Here are the 35 different ways that we can help in terms of people we can introduce you to, people who we know you can hire, whatever the case may be. And we very, very actively make those introductions. I would say that in a given day, I'm writing anywhere from 3 to 10 introduction emails. And that's largely to help our portfolio companies.
Mm-hmm. And that's, again, it's so incredible that you're helping these startups through the process of seeking funding and then afterwards, again, helping them to develop and, go on after they receive the money, what to do with it afterwards and so on. Now, as far as the way that entrepreneurs pitch, though, do you see that there are some common mistakes that entrepreneurs are making that you'd like to, offer some tips to maybe some entrepreneurs out there to help solve those problems?
Yeah, so let's look at team, market, and product, because most investors will say those are the 3 areas they look in. So let's take team in the first part. I think the biggest mistake that people make around team is everyone thinks that I need to have these 3 roles, CEO, CTO, CEOO, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And people always ask me, do I need a technical co-founder? And what I always respond is, figure out what's the most difficult part of your startup, and then hire around that, and you can outsource everything else, right? So if you are truly a technology platform company, you better have the most amazing technical talent possible. Maybe you're a media company, but then you need to hire media people, right? So I think it's hiring around the problem, not hiring around job titles. Also, co-CEOs is something that investor never wants to see, because co-CEO to me means that you don't have clearly defined roles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about market for a second. What I see all the time in entrepreneurs' pitch is, we've done no marketing and we have 15,000 users. That is not what I want to hear. What I want to hear instead is, I've tried these 7 different types of marketing. I've tried Facebook ads, I've tried LinkedIn ads, I've tried email, I've tried this, this, and this. The 2 channels that work for us are LinkedIn ads and direct email. And I know that if I send 10,000 emails, that 900 people click on my email, that 300 click on the big green box, and that 200 of them pay for my service, and that 6 months later, X are still paying for that service. I want those numbers backwards and forwards. I don't want to hear, hey, we've done no marketing. We have no idea why people are signing up for us. I wanted them to say, these are all the tests that I've done, and these are the things that work.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I'll say is, I do see a lot of entrepreneurs doing what I want to say, they're pitching the product, they're not pitching the company. And what I mean by that is, the product is great. We obviously want to know about the product, but the product is going to shift. Instead, really, really pitch the company, right? The team, the market, the business model, how you're actually marketing that product. Don't spend 7 of your 10 slides telling me all about the product. I need to know more than just that.
Right. So what I'm getting is that it's important for entrepreneurs to be as specific as possible and then to understand exactly what they need to be pitching in order to, get the attention of an investor. And I think that's a perfect segue. When we come back from our next break, we're going to talk more about the role of investors within 37 Angels. But first, I would like to invite all of you to connect with us and let us know what you think about this conversation by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, comment and use the hashtags womeninvest, #girlsinvest, and #weforshe. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls, with your host, Michelle Jaffe.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are with our guest today on the show, Angela Lee of 37 Angels. And before we went to the break, we talked about how entrepreneurs are helped through 37 Angels. And now we're going to take the conversation more to talking about how investors are helped and how they're benefited through 37 Angels. So Angela, why did you decide to focus on specifically angel investors as opposed to, more of the other investors, like venture capital investors?
So the only difference between angel investors and venture capitalists is that angel investors are investing their own money. Venture capitalists go out and raise a fund and invest other people's money. And I didn't want to invest other people's money. I wanted to invest my own. And so I think that's the decision I made there.
Mm-hmm. So as far as the investors go, are these people that have been investors for quite some time or have had, a few years experience in investing, or are these people that are pretty new to the field? I know that you talked about the boot camp that you have for investors. And is that something that, that mostly new investors take part in, or do you also have some more experienced ones affiliated in the organization?
Yeah. So we really run the spectrum. We have people who have been, doing investing for a decade. And then we have people who have made their first investment through 37 Angels. And we actually very purposefully want that spectrum. I would say the one thing we do manage towards is that we try to have half of our network be former entrepreneurs. So that means that even if it might be their first or second or fifth angel investment, they've been on the other side of this, right? They successfully started a company by themselves. I mean, by definition, if they're angel investing, it means they were probably pretty successful in their former startup. And so that's one filter that we very much do look for, is former entrepreneurs.
Right. I mean, I can imagine how important it is if you have an entrepreneur who, has walked a few miles in the shoes of an entrepreneur and understand what the process is like. And I mean, these investors have probably had their own experiences pitching to investors seeking funding for their own startup. So I can imagine that there must be, this this kind of theme of mentorship within 37 Angels, between sometimes the investors and the entrepreneur, or between investors. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, it happens organically, as you can imagine, all the time in terms of mentorship. But then we have a formal mentorship program as well. We have we're lucky enough to have about 20 really, really amazing mentors. They're all listed on our website at 37angels.com. where these are very experienced venture capitalists and angel investors, and they come and do fireside chats, they come and do panels, they'll do specific topics, like Todd Arkey just did, Todd Arkey from Seamless, just did a talk on B2B sales, for example. And we do shadow a mentor series where we have a mentor and two of our angels go and attend a demo day, and they will hear 10 pitches, live pitches of real companies. And after each one, the mentor will say, this is what I liked, this is what I didn't like. And they'll go to coffee afterwards and discuss, like, this is how I looked at those 10 companies, and this is what I think. And it's by far one of our most popular initiatives, is our Shadow and Mentor series.
That's so fantastic. And the fact that you have different levels of help within the investors and through mentors and all there to help these entrepreneurs. Now, I'd like to remind that if you are just now tuning into our show, you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. We're talking with our guest today, Angela Lee of 37 Angels. And now, as far as other ways that entrepreneurs can seek help, I also saw that you have a group of people known as ambassadors. So can you explain a little bit about who the ambassadors are and what their role is?
Sure. So our ambassadors are used primarily as subject matter experts, right? So certainly in diligence is a big time when we use them. So for example, we recently had to do a tech audit on a company, and we really had to get into their code to understand, A, how far along are they in development, and B, how differentiated is this technology from all the other competitors out there that exist. Now, I am not a programmer, so I wasn't able to go in and do that diligence, but we relied on one of our ambassadors to go in, have a conversation, tech person to tech person, look at their actual code, and make a diligence assessment for us. So that's in diligence how we might use them. And same thing if I'm looking at a life sciences company. You know, we looked at a company that identified a protein in vitro to say if a fetus had autism or not. Wow. Again, I have no idea how to look at that, but you know what? We have experts in our network who do have that expertise. And so definitely in diligence. And then as you can imagine, once they're a portfolio company, entrepreneurs ask us for all sorts of different expertise. Hey, Angela, do you know somebody who knows a lot about carbon sequestration? Well, you know what? Yes, I do. Do you have an amazing data science? Absolutely. Yes, we do. And so we do. That's how we use our ambassadors.
That's terrific. Now, as far as the angels and the ambassadors go, are they all women?
So all of our angels are women, and then our ambassadors and mentors are a mix.
Okay, interesting. So I think that's a good, that's an important point, though. I like the way that 37 angels, I mean, your mission is to help lessen the gender gap of women and men in the field of investors. So I think that it's incredibly important that you have an all-female group of investors in the organization. I think that's it definitely makes sense. Definitely makes sense. But, you know, it's besides possibly helping a startup by investing in them, how else do investors benefit from being involved in 37 Angels?
Yeah, so clearly there's the education. There's the formal education, the boot camp. There's the more organic education through the mentorship programs and just everyone learning from each other. I think the second way is certainly the network, right? We do all sorts of professional development events and social events. We did a headshot event where everybody got their professional headshots done, and there's a tremendous amount of power in the network, and people are doing deals with each other on real estate and investing in art and helping each other find nannies, right? Like all sorts of things are happening within the network. And then the last thing, which is something that was surprising to me, is we didn't realize that we would become an avenue to help women get on board. So obvious now that I think about it, but you know, there's a tremendous need for there to be more diversity on boards. And then also women often are like, well, how do I actually become a board member for the first time? And so that's another thing that we're providing. We have 33 portfolio companies. They all need board members. And so that's another really big benefit that we didn't really foresee when we started the organization.
Right. I mean, you're not only helping investors professionally develop, but then you're also, like you said, creating, you know, more board members as well. Now, with that being said, do you believe that there are misconceptions about a career in investing? Do people maybe just think that, you know, if you're an investor, you're only an investor? And what type of investors do you deal with that, you know, might be involved in other things?
Yeah, I would say 75% of our investors have a job, right? So I most of our investors are not full-time investors. So I think that is one. I don't know if people think that angel investors, like, they just sit around and look at deal flow all the time. No, I think, right. You know, a lot of them are working full-time. I think one misconception that investors have is I don't think they realize just how much time it takes to do this, right? So first of all, just looking at deal flow, right? If you just want to look at one company a week, that's only 50 deals a year. Again, we look at over 2,000. That just takes a lot of time. And I think people don't recognize just how much time kind of the deal flow, the sourcing, and the diligence takes. And then I think post-investment, same thing. They don't really think, oh my gosh, I write a check. I now could potentially be involved with this company for the next 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you're really in it for the long haul. And so I really encourage people to think about this as a portfolio, as a long-term portion of your career, and not something you're like, okay, I'm going to write a check and kind of not look at this again for several years.
Great. Again, Angela, what you're doing through 37 Angels is so important and so inspiring and impactful. not only for startups in New York, but, you know, to serve as almost like a role model organization for startups all over the nation and beyond. When we get back from our next break, don't go anywhere because we're going to talk more about some other things that Angela is involved in. But first, we want to invite you to connect with us by going to facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter. You can comment and use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, or hashtag weforshe. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the State of Women Radio Network, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on women and girls.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are going to continue our conversation with our guest today on the show, Angela Lee of 37 Angels. Now, Angela, you are involved in a few other advisory boards that I think have initiatives that are very important as well. The first one being the Fresco Education Fund. And, you know, education is such an important part of, you know, professional development and other ways that individuals can help develop themselves as well. So can you share just a little bit about, you know, what this fund is and your role within this fund?
Of course. So Fresco is a fund that invests in education companies, largely ed tech, and they do really great work. And what I like about them is they invest a lot internationally. And so for me personally, I love it that they're really looking at education at a global level, not just a domestic level. So that's one thing that I really love about that fund. And my role is largely as thought partner, sounding board. Given the role I have at Columbia Business School, especially if I put on my client hat as the buyer and the client of a lot of these ed tech companies, a lot of the times that's the hat I'm asked to wear, which is, you know, what do you think about this as a client in higher ed?
Mm-hmm. And that, again, is so interesting. And I love the fact that, you know, we talk about investing in entrepreneurs, and this is a great way that we can invest in other ways as well. So that is very, very, inspiring. Now, another thing that you were involved in is called Alice App. So first of all, can you explain what Alice App is?
Alice App started as a B2C play, meaning consumers would be able to kind of check in to their hotel, order room service, order a movie, all from their mobile phone. And so for those of you who travel a lot, I'm a former consultant. I remember, you know, the last thing you want to do is you get to your hotel, you're starving, and then you have to order food and wait 45 minutes. Now you can be in your cab, order food through your app, and it's there when you arrive. It is now morphed into a back-end enterprise software system. So if you think about, as a hotel, all the things that have to happen on the back end, hey, room 303 is missing towels. They need an early checkout, late checkout. All that stuff that happens, it's now a back-end enterprise software system to manage all of those interactions behind the scenes with the staff.
Excellent. So with that being said, what is your role within this company and why did you wish to get involved in something like this?
So my role there is, again, as a thought partner. So we have a board meeting probably once a quarter. And what we do there is obviously start with the first 20 minutes is just kind of what's going on. And then we really spend the next 2 hours saying, what are the biggest problems you guys are struggling with? So one problem that every startup has is, where do we focus? Right. And so as a hotel, what types of hotels do they focus on? Do they look at international hotels? Do they focus on apartment building complexes, which also need the software? Those types of questions. And so we really get quite tactical and say, what are the biggest problems you guys are struggling with? And we as a board collectively help them with that. So it's a very, very open dialogue. And I think that Alice runs their board meeting incredibly well, and they leverage their board members very well. And then I would say once a month, one of the founders will text or email and say, hey, you know, something's happening tomorrow. I just need 20 minutes on the phone with you. And I think that's the informal way that a lot of entrepreneurs use their board members, right? Which is, I just need to talk to somebody for 20 minutes about mm-hmm. this. Am I being crazy? And I think those are the really fun ones. I mean, I love the board meetings and those are effective, but there is something really exciting on being kind of on the ground as, you know, the hotline for the entrepreneurs to call.
Love it. And, you know, the last one that I want to talk about is the Startup Leadership Program. And again, if you can explain what this program is, first of all.
Sure. Startup Leadership Program is an amazing organization that really helps founders. And what I like about them is a lot of accelerators really focus on the company and the stage that the company's at. And what SLP does is they focus on the founder. And so they'll take people with just an idea. They'll take people who are much more established, and they really focus on helping the founder. And so you get a much more diverse set of entrepreneurs at all different stages of the business. And so I think from a learnings perspective, it's really interesting because somebody with just an idea can learn with a founder who has, you know, 2 years of experience under their belt. They're very, very education focused. Obviously, I love that. And I have to say, they're just, it's a really fun and open group. I feel like a lot of the time, sometimes when I walk into an accelerator, it can be very formal or they're kind of pitching me. What I like about SLP is every time I have, you know, a session with them or a talk with them, it's very much like, let's roll up our sleeves and really figure out how to do this. I mean, it's very tactical and very gritty, and I hope very helpful for the entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is wonderful because it reminds me of something that you said when we were still talking about 37 Angels and what investors look for when they approach a startup, and is more for the team than it is about the product. So I think that this program kind of falls in line with that idea that it's best to develop the entrepreneur first and then, instead of focusing just on the product, just on the company, but talking more about who's behind, who are the brains behind such a concept, right?
Exactly.
Right. Now,
it's all about people, right? I talked before about referrals being right. The best way to get in front of an investor. And obviously the team being so critical, especially the earlier the venture is, it really is all about people.
Exactly. No, I was just going to say, as far as 37 Angels goes back to this organization, we'd like to know, what types of things are you working on now? What upcoming projects do you have in the works that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, so in 2015, I'm excited that we are going to start looking more at a corporate angle. So one of the startups that I started in my previous life was in corporate training. And so we are developing a platform for corporations, right? So a lot of organizations, because of where I sit at Columbia and because of what I do at 37 Angels, have reached out to me to say, you know, how do we retain our senior women? And so there's two ways. One way is you could simply sponsor a group of senior women to go through our boot camp and teach them, you know, financial fearlessness, financial diversification. Or we're going to actually help organizations put together a program for their senior women, both to develop them and also to retain them. Because as you guys know, it's actually, there's a problem to retain senior women. Mm-hmm. And so I teach a leadership communication course up at Columbia Business School, for example. So we would offer this entire program, which would be around leadership communication, how do you speak with gravitas, how do you negotiate, how do you sell, combined with this whole programming around financial fearlessness, right? So how do you think about your finances from retirement planning all the way through alternative investing, like angel investing, investing in art, like investing in real estate, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. That sounds excellent. And, you know, I also want to ask you, you know, you have a background in, you know, the more corporate side of business. You have a background in consulting. You work within investing and with entrepreneurs. And these are all fields that are typically dominated by men. So I'd like to know from you if you have any advice for young women and girls, you know, if they want to sometime in the future be in the business world, or just some general advice for young women and girls that you have.
So the first piece of advice I would have is make it really easy for people to help you and ask for a lot of help. I think that a lot of the times I have a lot of, you know, young women in my office asking me about my career and all that kind of stuff. And we have this wonderful conversation. And at the end, I'm always like, ask me for something. You know, I gave you half an hour of my time. You know, we're here. I'm sure we just had a lovely conversation, but like, ask me for something. Ask me for an introduction to somebody. Ask me for something very specific. And I find that like women are great at kind of building relationships, but they need to capitalize on them, right? And use and really leverage those relationships and being very, very specific, right? So, you know, Angela, can you introduce me to people in healthcare? That's great. What's even better is, Angela, I want to talk to procurement managers at hospitals. What's even better, Angela, on LinkedIn, you are linked to these three people. Can you please introduce me to those three people and then write me an email that I can then forward to those three people, right? Make it really, really easy for people to help you and to really leverage those relationships, not just build them. I think that would be the number one piece of advice. Mm-hmm. That and relax and recognize it's all going to work out in the end. I certainly had my 10-year career plan, and it absolutely has not gone according to that plan, but I'm so thankful for that. And so just recognize it's okay, relax, don't overplan either.
Right, right. That's some great advice, both on a professional level and then on a non-professional level too, just to relax. I think that is some great advice for anyone out there. Angela, it's been an absolute honor to have you on our program. We wish you success in everything that you do, and thank you for having your voice heard on our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. Thank you. And we'd like to invite all of you to connect with us once again with through facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter. You can use the hashtag womeninvest, hashtag girlsinvest, and hashtag weforshe. Thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by the State of Women Radio Network, the first radio network for women and girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls with Michelle Jaffe. Download our shows on iTunes or listen on demand right here on thestateofwomen.com, the first and only global radio network focused exclusively on delivering the latest trends in investing, entrepreneurship, and global women's issues by and for women and girls.